The day after Election Day, Wednesday, November 7th, Portland's Citizen Review Committee, or CRC, played witness to its own political drama. The CRC is an 11-member volunteer body that hears appeals of police misconduct cases. What follows is a very rough outline of a CRC case, so bear with me for a minute. When a citizen feels wronged by a police officer, they can file a complaint with the City Auditor's Independent Police Review Division, or IPR. The case must be presented as one or a series of allegations, each alleging that one or more officers violated a specific bureau policy. IPR conducts an investigation and hands the results over to the Police Bureau's Internal Affairs Department, or IA. IA reviews the case and hands it over to the officer's supervisor, who delivers a finding for each allegation. The findings are one of the following: exonerated, meaning the evidence does not support the allegation; not sustained, meaning there was not enough evidence to prove the allegation; and sustained, meaning the evidence supports the allegation. There are also some gray areas, like not sustained with debrief, which means that despite a finding of not sustained, the officer was still being problematic and should be given some sort of guidance or talking to. Now, if the citizen making the complaint, the complainant, disagrees with the findings, they can appeal the case to the CRC, and are thereafter known as the appellant. The appellant at November's hearing was also the subject of August's hearing, at which she described an interaction with three officers, one a lieutenant, at North Precinct, way back in spring of 2017. She described how she was walking near the Blazers Boys and Girls Club on Northeast Emerson between the club and the precinct garage, and saw an officer parking a military-style CERT vehicle. CERT is Portland's equivalent to a SWAT team, by the way. The appellant walked over to take pictures of the CERT vehicle.
Officer A has just returned from a CERT mission, probably knocking down somebody's door in a military-style assault. He's putting away his gear, he's still wearing his camo, no badge or name bar, and so he immediately assumes that a woman alone with a cell phone is planning an ambush-style attack on North Precinct, just like the one that he has helped perpetrate himself. So for daring to disapprove and photograph them, I'm retaliated against as an enemy combatant by an officer hopped up on adrenaline from his CERT assignment. And a trumped-up charge of jaywalking is used as a pretext to confront and intimidate you with three officers and make sure that I never do it again.
She was issued a jaywalking ticket and, in the course of the interaction, was forcibly moved onto the sidewalk by the lieutenant, Leo Bessner, who is already notorious for using excessive force.
My third big shock was to discover in the days that followed who Lieutenant B really is. It's not at all difficult to find references to him as the million-dollar man. That's the amount of money the city has settled in civilian cases against him, including the 2005 killing of a man in a mental health crisis while he was on the phone with another officer, a black business owner who called police for help with a patron and was assaulted himself instead, the violent assault of a Latina minor at a bus stop, the 2007 assault of detention at gunpoint of three young black males in a parking garage. Despite all of this, Lieutenant B was promoted to sergeant in 2010 and then to lieutenant and was recently transferred to the training division.
It should be said that, during CRC hearings, officers and appellants are customarily kept anonymous, though that facade does break on occasion. At the end of August's hearing, the CRC voted against internal affairs on several of the allegations. It was then the turn of Police Chief Danielle Outlaw to review the CRC's findings and agree or disagree. She wound up agreeing with their findings on all but two allegations: that Lieutenant Bessner threatened the appellant with arrest if she did not produce identification, and that the CERT officer, Neil Parker, issued her a jaywalking citation in retaliation for taking photos and for having, in his words, a disgusted look on her face as she did so. Let's take a couple minutes here to look at the back and forth around the threat of arrest allegation, which should give you an idea of the ultimate fate of these misconduct complaints and how they get there. At issue here is the difference between an arrest and a detention. Internal Affairs originally found Lieutenant Bessner exonerated for this allegation. The CRC wanted it changed to sustained after the August hearing. Here's some of the lengthy discussion they had back then around this allegation.
No arrest possible for a no ID situation.
Correct. And you can't detain someone indefinitely either.
That
difficulty I'm having here is how this is phrased, because the testimony from the officers is that, whatever, so you want to read it, I'll go into it, is that it might have been a detainment is what they said. And there was a different understanding as to whether it was actually meant to be an arrest or not. And once again, we can go there. But if an officer can say that I will detain you unless you provide identification, would that not be within policy and therefore exonerated?
But Officer A said arrest.
Well,
so the very least that the officer, one of the officers in the appellant, are saying the arrest was said.
Also,
that makes it very difficult to get exonerated.
Appellant is already being detained. She's not free to leave.
Anyway, they voted to recommend a finding of sustained with a 5-3 vote. At this month's conference hearing, the chief says that she initially wanted the finding changed to not sustained rather than sustained because she felt the evidence was inconclusive to prove that Bessner, who she calls Lieutenant A, threatened to arrest rather than detain the appellant.
And that's why I sat back and thought about it and said, well, looking at the totality of the evidence, looking at the totality of the circumstances, I now find myself reverting back to the original recommendation of exonerating, because by all accounts, the appellant did not initially identify herself for the purpose of the officer's citation. The officer A told Lieutenant A that he needed to identify the appellant for a citation. Oregon law does not require non-drivers to produce any particular form of ID. However, the law does require a person to identify themselves when asked by a police officer for a lawful purpose. Under these circumstances, the police can detain, handcuff, and even transport a person a reasonable distance in order to determine the person's identity for the purposes of a violation citation. So with that said, even if that statement was made, if he said it, there was nothing out of policy for saying that. And furthermore, the citation was not likely for it. So I know I initially responded and said I disagreed and believe it should be not sustained, but at this point, I believe it should be exonerated.
Later, a member of the public made this observation.
I want to point out first that the chief was extraordinarily savvy tonight. She came on the offensive and got y'all to doubt yourself on the sustained verdict, and that is like such an amazing tactic. I've watched it happen. Don't let her fool you. You found that that was sustained, and she got you. She went all the way over to exonerated, and we were, well, maybe, because she was going to meet you in the middle with unsustained, even though you guys found sustained. So anyway, I just want to point that out to you. Don't let that happen to you.
So, guess what happened?
Said he was going to arrest her and then describe detention as maybe canceling one of the other out and get to my
if it's appropriate for me to chime in a bit, after hearing everything that I heard, which I am now back at not sustained, if that makes things a little bit easier.
I would move to concur with the chief on a not sustained.
CRC Chair Kristen Malone recommended the aforementioned not sustained with debrief to help the officers understand the importance of not mixing their detentions and their arrests. However, the CRC did hold the line on its recommendation that the retaliation allegation be sustained, which means that for the third time in its 18-year history, a CRC case will go before the City Council, the absolute last chance for this complaint to bear fruit. I was able to speak with the appellant about this result a week later, and what she saw as the chances her case had before City Council. We spoke over the phone. First of all, I was just curious what your reaction was to that, to the conference hearing the other night. It was a pretty unprecedented event, from what I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really pleased that the Citizen Committee stuck to their guns on retaliation. That's, for me, that's really the heart of the case, right?
Yeah.
That the things that happened that day were because of my taking photographs with them and having a look they didn't like on my face. So it's nice to see them hold firm on that. It was disappointing that I think one of the folks in the audience sort of pointed out that the chief was trying to play a game with changing her ruling on the other count, on the other allegation, and then changing it back to make it seem more reasonable for them to so-called meet her in the middle, and that that was an intentional trick, which really seemed how it played out. So that part was disappointing. But I was really happy that the retaliation stuck, and I'm really excited to go before counsel.
You've gone about as far as anybody has, except for maybe one or two people.
Yeah, I think this will be the third one in 10 years to go before counsel, including one last year. So, boy, it seems like it's speaking to maybe a couple things, that the Citizen Review Committee is doing a better job of really advocating for citizens and not being swayed as harshly by internal affairs, but also that maybe things are getting worse, right? That there's more frequent cases that are coming before them that are worthy of going all the way to counsel. And in that regard, I said last time that I'm happy that this case, no matter what its outcome, is able to shine a light both on the egregiousness of the Bureau, but also on the inadequacy of the process in some ways, right? So at each level of it, there's different things that are revealed about how the process works well or doesn't work well, and the ways that folks are not treated fairly, especially if they don't, have a lawyer or an advocate with them. But the fact that the Citizen Review Committee part of it seems to be standing more firm is very promising. And, we spoke last time also about the change in their review standard, and that's a really positive thing, and I think it's going to lead to more cases coming before counsel until counsel gets sick enough of having to be a regular part of the police accountability process, that maybe they start thinking that we need something that works more properly.
The retaliation is going to go before city council, and just looking forward to that. What do you expect out of that encounter? I mean, both in terms of just the procedure of it, like I personally have no idea how it's going to play out, but also just what do you expect from city council? Does it look like it'll be after Hardesty sits?
Yeah, that's my, that was their impression, at least Mr. Nguyen, who does the scheduling, his impression was that council's schedule is pretty full and it might be till January. So I would certainly be very pleased to have it come before Hardesty rather than Saltzman, just based on their views and Minister Saltzman's voting on police issues. It would be really great to have a majority there. If we can count on the three female members, that would be awesome. just sort of looking at, the historical votes on police issues. But I think the issues in my case are so, for me, tightly woven into other parts of police behavior in this town, the way that the left is profiled and retaliated against in protest situations versus the alt-right and the racists, for example. I think it's a systemic problem, both in, individual interactions that they have with folks like mine, and then also on a systemic level when they're working together. So, every little bit helps. Every little bit of light that we shine on it.
That was the appellant in a recent police misconduct case, which will be presented before the Portland City Council sometime in January. Stay tuned to the KBOO Evening News for further updates on this case, other CRC cases, and police accountability in the Rose City in general. The next meeting of the Citizen Review Committee will be held next Wednesday, December 5th, in the Lovejoy Room at Portland City Hall. For KBOO Evening News, I'm Sam Bowman. KBOO volunteer Kanani Cortez also contributed to this report.